Aerosol cans cover have a label that says, warning, contents under pressure. Now, that same label could be put on a few people that you know and that I know. There are a lot of stressed out people around, especially now. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. There's a well-known stress scale called the Holmes Stress Scale, which lists the 100 most stressful events people can have in life. There's divorce, death of a loved one, loss of a job, learning a new position in a new job, and so on and so forth. On that scale, after much study, they discovered that the single most stressful time of year is what? Guess. It's this one that we're in right now, between Thanksgiving and New Year's. You start to worry about all kinds of problems that happen. Gifts, finances, all of the activities. Some of you worry about your relatives. You're going to have to see them, and it's just something that happens, and the stress level goes up significantly with some of them. Someone has said this is the season to be uptight. The season to be uptight. When shopping, nothing destroys the Christmas spirit faster than trying to find a parking spot. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving. And I want to ask you the question, how can we be thankful in tough times? How can we be thankful in tough times? When the economy is sliding, when things aren't going your way, when we're dealing with the COVID situation all around us, how do you be thankful in tough times? Philippians 4 and verse 4 says, may you always be joyful in the Lord. May you always be joyful in the Lord. Is that possible? Can you always be joyful no matter what the situation? You can. I want to share with you a couple of scriptures on a strategy for surviving seasonal stress. I'd suggest you write these down. There's an insert in your bulletin. It's printed out for you. And you can write them there, or you can write them down yourself. I suggest you write these down and tack them up on your refrigerator or on a bulletin board or on a wall somewhere in your house so that you're reminded of these during pressured times. In Philippians 4:6, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he says this afterwards. He says, finally, whatever is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. In this very short passage, we have four keys to surviving stress. They're very simple to say, but they're a little bit more difficult to apply. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things, and think about the right things. Father, as we look to your word, speak to us now by your Spirit through your word. May we know your presence with us, even in the most stressful of times. May it be a testimony to the people around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First one is worry about nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Do not fret or put up with anxiety. Now, that's a little bit easier said than done. It's no sweat to say it, but as soon as you finish saying it, you probably start worrying about something. The Smithsonian Magazine says that we are in the golden age of anxiety. The golden age of anxiety. We not only have micro worries, which are your personal worries, but now you're confronted with macro worries, worries of the world. It's no wonder people are uptight. They get up in the morning to the buzzing of the alarm clock, and that sets off for some people a very negative mood. It's not a comfort clock, it's an alarm clock. Then they turn on Bad Morning America. It's not enough to have your own problems. You've got to have Iran and the election and COVID and dozens of other things happening too. And you sit down with your cereal and you read the newspaper, which is just full of good news, isn't it? You get in your car and on the way to work you listen to talk radio. Another segment of bad news. No wonder you're stressed out by the time you get to work. You need to, as the Bible says, worry about nothing. Dr. Walter Calvert did a study and discovered that 40% of worries never happen. 40% of worries never happen. Calvert's research then found that 30% of your worries concern the past, things that have already happened. Worry cannot change the past, and it cannot control the future. All worry does is mess up today. Worry about the past all you want, but it won't change it. The past is past. And you won't control the future no matter how much you worry about it. All worry does is mess us up right now. So you can't change the past. You can't control the future. 40% of our worries aren't even going to happen. So 70% of your worries are absolutely worthless. 12% of worries are needless health concerns. It's like the hypochondriac whose tombstone read, "I told you I was sick." 10% of your worries are petty or insignificant issues. Only 8% of your worries are actual rightful concerns. 8%. But worrying doesn't change anything. It's stewing without doing. There are no such things as born worriers. Worry is a learned response. Learned from your parents or learned from your peers. Or perhaps you actually learned it by experience. Actually, that's good news. The fact that worry is learned means that it can be unlearned. So how do you unlearn it? Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." He says, in effect, don't open your umbrella until it starts raining. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Don't do that. The key to reducing stress is live one day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just focus on today's issues and problems. Worry about nothing. It's interesting that when Paul wrote this, he was in a dungeon in Rome. He says, don't worry about anything. And there he sits in a dungeon. Whenever God tells us not to do something, he always has a positive replacement. Whenever God has a don't, he always has a do in its place. Anytime he says eliminate this from your life, he adds something else. And that's step number two. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Philippians 4:6 says, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You say, I don't have time to pray. You substitute the time you spent worrying with praying, then you'd find time to pray. If you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. Just pray where you used to worry. You'll do that, you'll have plenty of time for prayer. And if you pray instead of worry, you'll have a whole lot less to worry about. He says, in everything, not just some things, but pray about everything. Some people think God only cares about religious things. Like God cares about how many people I talk to about Christ, or how many people I invite to church, or he only cares about my giving or my serving. Is God interested in your car payments? Is he interested in your lower back pain or your post-nasal drip? He cares about every detail of your life. One paraphrase says, when you pray, tell God every detail of your life. God is concerned about the big things and the small things. He knows every detail of your life. Even the hairs on your head are numbered, it says. He has to work a little harder with some people than others. The God who made every fingerprint unique, made every voice print, every snowflake unique, has no problem handling the details of your life. There's nothing you cannot pray about. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. Nothing is insignificant to God. Nothing. You can pray about anything and everything. It says pray with petition. Petition is a specific, direct, detailed prayer. Most people's prayers are so vague, they'd never know if they got an answer. Things like, God bless me. What's a blessing? At times, a problem can be a blessing. Is that what we pray for? God, give me problems? No, be specific. Pray about any detail and every detail of your life. 1 Peter 5:7 says, let him have all your worries and cares. For he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Circle that word all. One paraphrase says, unload all your worries. Unload all your worries. We need to learn to unload our problems instead of just worrying. Prayer is a tremendous release valve. People ask, how can I handle stress? You turn it over to the Lord. You release it to God. I love the New Testament Greek for the words, let him have it. It literally means just let it drop. Drop it. This is the kind of load that's so heavy you couldn't hoist it if you had to. He says, just let it go. That's what God says with your worries. Dump them on God. Unload your stress through prayer. Paul says, give God every detail of your life. Peter says, unload all your worries since he is looking after you. Major insurance companies, life insurance companies, researched and discovered that folk who attend church weekly live on the average 5.7, almost 6 years longer than people who do not attend church. Why is that? Well, one guess might be that people who go to church unload on the Lord. They let God have their worries. They decompress. If you do not talk it out to God, you'll take it out on yourself. Say that again. If you do not talk it out to God, you'll take it out on yourself. One has said, when you swallow your worries, your stomach keeps score. Let it go. Unload it. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Phillips paraphrase says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. You are his personal concern. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Just ask God to help you with those worries, those problems, those stresses. Here's the insight. No problem is too big or too small to pray about. If you want to relieve stress, here's what you do. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. Simple, but it's something we have to learn over and over and over again. The third thing is thank God at all times. He says, when you pray, pray with thanksgiving. That can be paraphrased as always asking him with a thankful heart. Whenever you pray, always pray with thanksgiving. The healthiest human emotion is not love. The healthiest human emotion is not love. The healthiest human emotion of all is gratitude. Gratitude. It actually, as far as research has shown us, it increases your immunity. It makes you more resistant to stress and less susceptible to illness. The healthiest emotion is the attitude of gratitude. People who are grateful are more happy. But people who are ungrateful are miserable because nothing makes them happy. They're never satisfied. Nothing is ever good enough. So if you cultivate the attitude of gratitude, of being thankful in everything, it reduces stress in your life and helps you to get along better with other people. An old song went, count your blessings, name them one by one. That's a good thing to do. Make a list. I made a list of what I was grateful for. My wife, my kids, the wonderful church family that God has blessed me to serve here. Be thankful in all things. And continue to make that list. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The Bible does not say be thankful for evil. It says in every circumstance give thanks. Not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance. So what's the difference? The difference is God can bring good out of even bad. In every circumstance, no matter how bad it is, you can give thanks to God because A, I know he has a purpose bigger than the problem, and B, he will give me the power to overcome the problem, and C, I will grow through the experience if I allow it to help me grow. In every circumstance, in the midst of every circumstance, Even the evil that happens in the world, I could be thankful for, because I know that my God is greater than my problem. People ask, how do I know what God's will is for my life? Right here. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. To not exhibit the attitude of gratitude is to be out of God's will. How can I be grateful when I've lost so much, you say? I've lost my job, I've lost my health, I've lost my spouse. How can I be thankful for that? You look not at what you've lost. You look at what you have left. And you have a great amount left. You're still alive. Look at what you have left. So the question is, what are you taking for granted? Is it your health? Your freedom? Your relationships? He says, in everything, give thanks. Gratitude is a stress reliever because it gets your eyes off the problem and it puts it on the positive things in your life. Now, one prime way to show gratitude is in giving. You see, we just went through Thanksgiving. Thanks and giving go together. We express thanks by giving. It's an expression of gratitude. I worry about nothing. I pray about everything. I give thanks for all things. Not just in giving money, but giving of my time, giving of my gratitude, giving of my emotions in a very positive way. Fourth, think about right things. Think about right things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. If you want to reduce the level of stress in your life, you must change the way you think. Change the way you think. None of us use our brain to the level of potential God has given us. Whatever you put in your brain is going to come out, kind of like the old saying about the computer, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you feed your mind, whatever you think about will come out in your life. How do you think? How you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel influences how you act. So he says, if you want to change your life, you need to change what you're thinking about. You read the newspaper or watch TV and seldom read your Bible. You're filling your mind with the unhealthy in life rather than the healthy. It says here to think about the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy. Let me ask you, does that describe the typical movie or TV show? Most movies are the exact opposite of that. It says, fill your mind with good things. It involves a deliberate, conscious choice where you change the channel or maybe just turn the thing off. Choose to think about right things. Focus on the positive and on God's word. Why? Because the root cause of stress is the way I choose to think. Why is it that you can take two people and you can put them in the exact same circumstance and one of them is blown away, they emotionally fall apart, but the other one handles it with no problem, with unruffled feathers? Obviously, the problem is not the circumstance. It's your response to the circumstance. It's how you view the circumstance, how you're interpreting life by how you think. That's your choice, how you're choosing to look at your problems that you're going through right now. That could be the source of your stress. Your problem is not your problem. Your problem is not your problem. Your problem is how you choose to respond to your problem. Think about it in the right way. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." What dominates your mind? Whatever you think about the most is what you are becoming. You always move toward what you're focusing on. If you want to become like Christ, you need to think about him. You need to fill your mind with the Bible. What's the result of doing these things? Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. And keep your mind on the right things. What's the result? The result's found in verse 7. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your heart quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. What a guarantee. He's promising peace of mind. You notice that that's what everyone seems to be looking for? Peace of mind? It's amazing the things people will try to find peace of mind. Crystals, therapy, fad diets, all kinds of books and seminars, etc., etc. They run from one thing to the next, one counselor to the next. And I'm not putting down counselors. Sometimes they're really needed. But they're looking for peace of mind. The Bible says that God's peace is a gift to you. And it can't be explained, and it can't be duplicated, and it can't be fabricated. It is a gift. A gift. How do I get that kind of peace of mind that keeps my heart at peace when I'm under pressure? What keeps me calm in the midst of a crisis? What gives me strength in the storm? What gives me gratitude in tough times? How do I get that kind of peace? The key is the last phrase of that verse, as you trust in Christ Jesus. It's a relationship for those who trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Look at the phrase, his peace will keep your thoughts. His peace will keep your thoughts. Circle that word keep. The word keep was a great military term. It means that which sentries a garrison of soldiers around your mind. When Paul was writing to these people in Philippi, Philippi was a Roman city, it was a colony protected by the Roman legion. The Roman legion had sentry guards, and it kept the peace of the city. It kept invaders out. And God says, when I trust Christ, he puts a sentry guard on my mind. He keeps me at peace when everything else wants to stress me out. That's the way you do it. So what has worried you this morning? Your health? Your finances? Your relationships? All that you have to do in the next couple of weeks? Maybe marriage problems or your kids or your career? If you'll take these steps and let Jesus Christ become the sentry guard of your mind and the center of your life, you will find a peace that you cannot even imagine. It's a relationship for those who trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus Christ, thank you that you give us peace of mind. And I pray that there are those who will today take these steps. Let me encourage you to pray this prayer in your heart. It should be up on the screen. It's in your bulletin insert. Dear Lord, help me to unload my worries on you. Help me to pray to you about everything rather than worry. Help me to develop the attitude of gratitude and to thank you in every situation. Help me to be a more grateful person. Help me to think about the right things, to spend time with you in the Bible every day. Help me to fill my mind with positive things, not negative garbage. Put your peace in my heart. And if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, pray this. Jesus Christ, I turn the controls of my life over to you. I want to follow your plan. Be my Lord, my boss. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.